The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to think and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Friday, December 10th, 2010, and welcome to the weekend and welcome to Normal Show Live. We are the voice of the Marijuana Nation, bringing you 2 hours of live music, talk, news, interviews, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. We're coming to you live and direct from Rolla J Studios in beautiful Potland, Oregon, and joining me here at the engineering table, our sidekick, the good old Ganja John.
What's up, Russ?
Oh, we're just chilling. We got some great stuff coming on today's show. Video.
Yeah, we do.
Everybody's talking about the video of Miley Cyrus, and we'll also get that in our Hemp Headlines, which features our own cannabis, Carrie, up in Grastoria, Oregon. How you doing, Carrie?
Do not have
Carrie. Oh, we got caught. Carrie, we lost Carrie today for somehow. Okay, well, we'll have her on our Hemp Headlines coming up right after this first break. Also on today's show, at half past the hour, we are going to talk to the Normal Women's Alliance. And this is the new group formed by Normal to help get the so-called stiletto stoners on board and the moms for marijuana and all those women who will be so crucial in ending adult marijuana prohibition. Also, so joining us there for Normal Women's Alliance will be Sabrina Fendrick, who is the coordinator for the Women's Alliance, as well as Cheryl Schumann from DailyBuds.com, who is also the director of PR media for KushCon and DailyBuds.com. All sorts of great information on KushCon coming up next weekend. And then we've got a radical rant at the end of the show. I'm going to talk about a dispensary and a radio show promotion that just shows why we're having so much trouble getting medical marijuana passed in the rest of the country. And in hour two, we'll take your live calls at 971-533-7111. Carrie, I think we've got you back on the line. What's in the news today?
Well, today we're going to go over that breaking news that you did live yesterday on the show about the raids in Southern California. Also, we're going to talk about some interesting Michigan meetings this week. And we've got some more information from the THC ministry out of Hawaii.
Okay, breaking news on that story, Roger Christie and the case there of the THC ministry. All of that's coming up on today's Normal Show Live, so stick around. We are looking forward to talking to you in the second hour. And when we come back, we'll have your Hemp Headlines with Cannabis Carrie. It's Normal Show Live. We're also taking donations for our bandwidth at KushCon. You can get the information from the caption on the screen. Send your donations via PayPal to radicalrust@gmail.com.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
Look, when I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Remember, Mr. President, you once were just one bust away from being Barry the drug criminal.
Life ain't a box of chocolates gum. That's why people smoke weed and take bumps and drink way too damn much and get drunk and do it all over again first of the month.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
A follow-up to the story we broke on yesterday's show live while it was happening. Narcotics agents stormed the well-established MediLeaf medical marijuana clubs in Santa Clara County yesterday. Two of the three MediLeaf locations were raided in San Jose County with more than 70 police and narcotics agents, along with drug-sniffing dogs that showed up to serve the warrants against the dispensaries. Patients who were alerted quickly by word of mouth mobilized and showed up at the locations to protest, shouting down the officers that were removing items and holding up signs that said, "Our meds, our rights," and "Go raid a meth lab." Santa Clara County has been considering an outright ban on medical marijuana dispensaries, and City Councilman Pierre Luigi Oliverio, who supports regulation and taxation as opposed to an outright ban, showed up at MediLeaf's Meridian Avenue location for a few minutes after the raid. He had no comment on the raid, but he did say that any theory that by accepting money for marijuana, the clinics were illegal was, quote, a farce. Daniel Ayers, the task force commander of the county special enforcement team, said the raid was because police chiefs in the county complained that the proliferation of dispensaries was getting out of hand. The owners are now under suspicion of illegally selling marijuana and money laundering. Ayers also claims that the dispensaries are at risk of being taken over by organized gangs. Law authorities in Santa Clara County say that the state's guidelines prohibit dispensaries from making a profit, and they say that MediLeaf has been selling marijuana to people without medical marijuana cards. Task agents shut down the two clubs, seized marijuana, computers, and other documents, and the raids came on the same day that Jonathan Mitchell, the owner of a competing dispensary, New Age Healing Collective, surrendered to Santa Clara County authorities on felony charges of money laundering and possession for sale. He pleaded not guilty and was released on bail. This isn't the first time that MediLeaf has been targeted by law enforcement. Their location in Gilroy had been the target of a raid earlier this year that ended up in not much more than a pile of legal bills for the city to pay. The people behind that marijuana collective, one of the city's first to open last year, are sponsoring a benefit today to raise money to sue the Narcotics Task Force. They plan to discuss the raids and give free medical marijuana to patients. That event begins today at 4:20 p.m. at Medics Collective on Center Road.
Well, these continued raids on medical marijuana are just, you know, uncalled for. The people passed medical marijuana. The people support medical marijuana. And the only reason these so-called crimes of money laundering or possession for sale are happening is because people are wanting to get their legal medicine. It's such a shame we create these laws where people are legal to use this stuff, but we don't do the follow-through and think about, well, who's going to grow it? Who's going to supply it? How's it going to get to the patients? If we would just go through and legalize it for everyone, we wouldn't have to make all these silly laws and have to, you know, break into dispensaries and put people out of jobs and ruin people's lives with all the trials and the appeals. Let's just legalize it.
A meeting in Allendale, Michigan was held on Wednesday night, attended by local government leaders from around West Michigan and a standing room only crowd to discuss the medical marijuana laws in the state. Michigan attorney Dan Martin said that the municipalities in their state have only three basic options when it comes to medical marijuana. One, do nothing and let police interpret the existing law as they see fit. Two, try to ban it outright and take a chance of being sued. And three, permit and regulate where possible with zoning and licensing ordinances. ordinances. His lengthy presentation on the legal landscape of the state's medical marijuana law amounted to a ton of free legal advice for local government officials, with many members of the public who attended the session. Over 100 people packed the government building to try to get clarification on an issue that is almost daily in their news, as a growing number of Michigan communities are trying to enact moratoriums and bans on medical marijuana businesses in the face of what they say is a law open to interpretation. Martin warned that until all of the issues are cleared through the court system or some kind of amendment to the current Medical Marijuana Act, people that are opening cannabis businesses will be proceeding at their own risk. He also advised municipalities against banning medical marijuana outright, since their towns would become test cases and the money spent on lawsuits and legal fees could blow their budgets whether they win or lose. Dispensaries are most at risk since the state law doesn't specifically allow them, and in Martin's opinion, they are not permitted by the language of the law. That disappointed many of the medical marijuana patients who attended, but he said that complying with the law is difficult at best, since the law never amended Michigan's public health code that considers marijuana a Schedule 1 controlled substance. Now, another meeting, this time in a city commissioner's meeting, that was held at the same time across the state in Battle Creek, that was a bit more raucous and ran past 1 a.m. at City Hall, had mostly medical marijuana advocates attending and repeatedly yelling objections to statements made by commissioners and city staff. Now, they were meeting to specifically discuss a January 6th deadline when a moratorium on new medical marijuana businesses expires. Commissioners were planning on extending the opening freeze, but applause broke out when they cast their votes unanimously to postpone any decision without more input from the community.
Well, this always seems so counterintuitive to me. Every time we do these stories about medical marijuana businesses, dispensaries that are opening up, you know, people always complained about marijuana being illegal, that people were going to shady, you know, sources and you know, it's underground market and all that. Okay, so we bring this market above ground or somewhat above ground with these medical marijuana laws. We provide jobs for people. We provide a safe place for people that are going to get their marijuana to get their marijuana. They were getting it before. They're going to get it now. So at least they're doing it in a safe place where people are getting, you know, getting jobs, making some money, contributing to the economy. Let's not forget the sales taxes that a lot of these places pay. It's just so counterintuitive. Like I said, when we're talking about a state like Michigan, where unemployment is high, where all of the manufacturing jobs, the entry level type jobs that pay decently are gone. Here we have a growth industry and everybody wants to try to shut it down. Again, let's just legalize and save this economy.
Roger Christie's appeal to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals to be allowed to post bail while awaiting trial was denied again this week, and he will have to stay behind bars in the detention center that has housed him for over 5 months. Christie, the cannabis activist from Hawaii and the self-proclaimed marijuana minister, has been behind bars since his July 8th arrest and is facing 3 counts of drug trafficking. The 61-year-old leader of Hawaii's THC ministry will remain in custody until his trial gets underway. Christie is the founder of the THC Ministry, a religious organization that considers cannabis a religious sacrament. He founded the ministry over 10 years ago, and for donations of $50 to $250, the ministry would send affidavits of religious use cards and sacramental plant tags. Christie and the members of the THC Ministry had been raided in March of last year, and the DEA, IRS, and U.S. Postal Inspector, plus the U.S. Immigration Naturalization, were all involved in the 7-hour search of Christie's home and church. U.S. Attorney Michael Karahara made the case that the raid in March did not stop Christie from selling marijuana, leading to his July arrest, and therefore is the reason to believe that if released, Roger Christie would continue to engage in criminal activity. An earlier bail hearing revealed that the marijuana church had a donation list for cannabis with set amounts for quantities of marijuana. Also revealed, federal authorities had conducted wiretaps on the organization to help gather evidence against the man who is now considered a threat to society in the eyes of the Hawaiian courts. The denial of bail with the appellate court on Tuesday means that Christie will most likely spend the rest of the time leading up to his trial in the Honolulu Federal Detention Center. Christie's trial has now been set for April 26th, 2011, at which time he will have spent over 10 months in custody without the benefit of a trial.
This is insane. Nobody should be behind bars for that length of time. Nobody should be behind bars, period, for cultivating marijuana, for buying marijuana, for selling marijuana, and especially when we're talking about someone who is not doing it to become some sort of drug kingpin, to become some sort of high-life millionaire. This guy lives a very Spartan lifestyle. He obviously has some sincere religious belief about what he's doing. This has nothing to do with anybody fearing for the lives of the people of Hawaii, that he's somehow going to become a danger to society. What it is a danger to the status quo, a danger to the people that want to keep marijuana prohibited, and they want to silence another political voice. It's like what they've done with Mark Emery. They're doing the same with Roger Christie. Agree or disagree with what he might have to say, there is no reason why he needs to be locked up for what he has been doing. This has got to end. We have got to once again support these people that are working so hard to change marijuana laws. You can get more information about the Roger Christie trial at the THCministry.org, THC-ministry.org. Maybe it has a dash, I'm not sure, but we'll check that out and we'll get that posted for you. Again, agree or disagree with tactics, there is no reason who anyone who believes in the end of marijuana prohibition should be treated this way. Let's get our support behind them and all of our marijuana pot war on drugs POWs.
And for this last story, where is Steve Bloom when we need him? Miley Cyrus, the Disney darling, pop sensation, and progeny of achy breaky heart syndrome identifier Billy Ray Cyrus, celebrated her 18th birthday a few weeks ago, and in an after party about 5 days later was videotaped smoking out of a bong. TMZ posted the video on their website today, and it's about 2.5 minutes long, and shows Miley smoking out of a bong while friends in the background give her tips on how to hold the hit and light it for her. TMZ is reporting that the sources close to the pop star say she was experimenting with salvia, a legal herb in California that has reported psychedelic qualities. She looks like a typical 18-year-old at a party laughing with her friends in the most bizarre product placement ad ever. A prominently displayed box of Kellogg's Frosted Flakes hovers in the background.
Oh, there she goes. We can hear it right now. Hey, we're going to give you a little bit of that video, and then we'll come back to comment. This is from TMZ.com, Miley Cyrus's Salvia Bong Hits for her 18th birthday. Yeah, so we'll let that continue to play in the background. It's more of the same, you know, yeah. People partying. There's the box of Frosted Flakes. I love that the box of Frosted Flakes shows up there in the background, you know. It's Carrie had a great idea that that we should interview the box of Frosted Flakes. Like, man, I was there for Michael Phelps. I was there, man. I told him he shouldn't do it, but he couldn't stop. And now Miley, I was there for Miley too. Everywhere you go, the box of Frosted Flakes is trying to get you high. It could be like Towley from South Park.
Danny Danko in the chat says the Frosted Flakes is a dead giveaway that it's weed. I'm thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
I thought I was the only person that ate handfuls of dry Frosted Flakes when I was high, but guess not.
And that, you know, the comeback from her reps, you know, they're saying, well, it's not like she was smoking marijuana. She was smoking salvia, and it's perfectly legal. Well, okay, so you're taking bong hits to get high is what you were doing. You know, salvia. And the other aspect of this, too, is like, you know, I'm older. I'm 42, going on 43 here next month. And when I was 18, if cell phone cameras had existed, oh, my God. Oh, some
even
of the
me, too. You know, I'm 20, 25, 26. I don't know. Something like that. But,
how old
are you? Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I can't imagine the things I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so, you know, but, you know, she's an adult. And one thing I guess we could say about this, though, is that look at how raucous and crazy this party is with people smoking.
Ooh, oh my God.
Gosh, they're way out of control.
They're using bad language.
They're cursing and giggling. I mean, this is the worst that we have to deal with in America is if she's smoking a bong hit with some of her friends. I mean, people are doing this all the time. They're just not named Miley Cyrus and nobody cares if they're filmed doing it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if we're going to promote something that's going to be safer, I'd rather see Miley Cyrus doing that than, you know, doing an ad for Budweiser, doing an ad for some alcohol company here that kids, you know, are dying from binge drinking every day. At least she was caught doing something like this. And, you know, shame, too, that you'd have to have a party with your friends and you couldn't trust that your friends wouldn't tape something.
She even said, I'm going to document this.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm going to document that.
No, her friend said that, yeah. Her supposed friend said that.
All right, well, let's take a break.
It totally looked like an ad. I did want to say that maybe Kellogg's will jump all over this now because of the whole Michael Phelps fallout. Maybe they'll use this for the next commercial, you know, to promote this.
We can only hope.
Look how cool we are. We are there with Miley Cyrus.
I can't wait for what they do with this on Saturday Night Live. Let's take a break with Miley.
I think it's definitely time for a Miley break.
It's time for a Miley
break.
Partying
in the USA.
Partying in the USA. We'll be right back with your Herb Thrasher and Rockin' Friday.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Been busted? Need a lawyer? Call the Normal Legal Committee for an attorney near you. Find one at norml.org. Remember, attorneys are cheaper than a lifelong criminal drug record.
It's that freedom. Freedom. I'm free to live.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday, our segment featuring the best rock, metal, punk, and jam band music brought to you by Herb Thrasher at herbthrasher.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Oh, I love coming to Friday here where we get our own little Eric Cartman in the drill, burrowing his way to the center of Normal Show Live. It's Herb Thrasher with our medal for the day. What's up, Herb?
Right on, guys. What's going on out there? How you doing, Russ? Gone to John, Kerry, Chatter, Stasher. Hope everyone's doing great.
Having a good time. Tell us all about, you got an announcement before we get to the music, though, about the event coming up next weekend that's not KushCon.
Yes, that's right. There is some other things going on pro-cannabis these days out there, guys. And I did want to make an announcement that here next weekend, December 18th in Portland, Oregon, at the world-famous Cannabis Cafe, we're going to be having our 10th annual Oregon Medical Cannabis Awards. And it should be a really fun day. It starts at 10, and so we'll open the doors, and anyone can come in. You don't have to have a medical card for this one. And this might be a good time for guys to come check out the cafe if you want to see it. But it's open to the public, and we're going to have vendors there all day. It's from 10 to 5. And shortly after 11, we have a cannabis tincture and salve making kind of class. At noon, you guys might have heard of this one guy. His name is Danny Danko.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you guys know him or not. He's been around. But he's going to be making his way to Portland, too.
Awesome.
And he's going to give a grow seminar. And so there's still some spaces open for that. And there is some cost for that. I can't remember what the – maybe $75 or something like that.
I think that's right.
And he's going to give you all kinds of tips and anything you want to know. And, you know, there might be someone better out there, but if you can find him, let me know. And so I'm going to go with Danny, and I'd put my money on him.
I would, too.
We'll also have a legal seminar with Oregon Normal Director Paul Loney that day. And so we'll have some great vendors on tap, Advanced Nutrients. My company, Herb-Aid Designs, will be there. We'll have Made by Hippies. One of Russ's favorites, Starfish Designs,
with
Handoff, they're going to be there. And so it really should be fun. And then that evening, we have a dinner banquet, and that's where we announce our winners. There's 28 strains, and so that's where everyone will get to find out who won and what tasted better, what smelled better, what looked better. And we also have a couple awards to give out. One of our Freedom Fighters of the Year award will go to Anthony Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Coalition for Faithful Rights. He's done so much work. He did so much for Oregon and trying to get Measure 74, along with a lot of other people. But Anthony Johnson was the man. And then our Dr. Rick Bayer Award is going to go to Dr. Eric Dover.
Oh, yeah.
For just standing up for patients. He's just been relentless and standing up for patients. So we're going to award him, and it just should be a great night. And so I'd like for everyone, you know, around the Portland area, Washington, it might be a good day to come into Portland and check things out.
Yeah.
So you can look this up on the website at OregonNormal.org, and all the information's there, and there's a map and all that good stuff.
That's right. December 18th, the 10th Annual Oregon Medical Cannabis Award at the USA Cannabis Cafe, world famous cannabis cafe. Check out ornorml.org for more information. And now, the medal.
Let's rock, dude. All right. Building on a great following through the 1990s, touring extensively, God Forbid has placed itself in the metal world as a player. Mature songwriting, catchy hooks, and plain brutality, God Forbid, take you to the next level of metal. With their first album coming out in 99 and joining the MTV2 Headbangers Ball Tour, that was enough to help define the thrashy heavy metal deep riff style that God Forbid relishes. In 2006, God Forbid's To the Fallen Hero won the Independent Music Award for Best Hard Rock Heavy Metal Song. They released a DVD on June 10th in 2008, and their fifth studio album, Earth's Blood, was released on February 24th, 2009, and landed on the Billboard 200 chart. So that was cool. In April 2010, the band issued an update that they are starting on a new record, so expect something here soon. So who's your hero or fallen hero, guys? Could it be mom or dad? All of our fallen soldiers from the Pearl Harbor attack 59 years ago this week? Maybe it's all of our troops overseas fighting an awful war and all our veterans from past wars. Maybe it's someone who just got arrested for cannabis, such as Willie Nelson, and chose to stand up for his side of the story. Now we have the Teapot Party. Maybe it's someone who has been arrested and sitting in taxpayer prisons for nonviolent crimes, such as Eddie Lepp, Mark Emery, or even a bride such as Chappelle Corby. Maybe it's a few legends like Jack Herrera or Keith Stropp that had the inside of freedom and truth and started a whole wave of activism. Maybe it's Ronnie James Dio and Dimebag Darrell sitting up top, smoking a big fatty, enjoying internal in retirement. Who's your heroes, guys? I'd look for you to find them out. Give them a shout. I hope everyone has a great holidays. A shout out to the fallen hero, and turn it up for God Forbid.
All
Thanks,
right.
guys.
All right, we're going to rock. This is God Forbid with To the Fallen Hero.
Man!
Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media, and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch-long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
If I were to tell you that in America, right now, over 1 million children sell marijuana, what would you think? Would you think that any public policy that creates over 1 million teenage marijuana dealers needs to be re-examined and possibly amended? You would not be alone. The members of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, a.k.a. NORML, have been working since 1970 to reform marijuana laws such that responsible adults, not children, sell and use marijuana. Isn't it high time to reform America's misguided marijuana laws? This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML in Washington, D.C. Only concerned citizens can effectively end the federal government's nearly 70-year-old prohibition on responsible adult marijuana sales and use. Want to know more about how you can help? Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's popular and informative webpage at NORML, NORML.org.
The effects of marijuana prohibition are felt by all Americans in every walk of life, regardless of race, creed, color, religion, social status, wealth, gender, sexual orientation, or even one's use or non-use of marijuana. As the marijuana smokers lobby, NORML hears the stories of these average Americans and brings them to the attention of our policymakers and our fellow citizens in this segment we call NORML Newsmakers.
Welcome back, everyone. 34 after the hour, and we're getting to a subject that is near and dear to my heart, the NORML Women's Alliance, because it is so important for us to get women involved in the fight to ending prohibition. If we look back to our history over alcohol prohibition, it was women that ended that. It's going to be women that ends marijuana prohibition. And joining us here to talk about it is the coordinator of the new NORML Women's Alliance, Sabrina Fendrick from the NORML National Offices. Sabrina, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Glad to have you here. And also, we're going to discuss a great fundraising opportunity for the Women's Alliance. Also joining us to discuss this is the director for PR and media for CushCon and with DailyBuds.com, Cheryl Schumann, who's also on the steering committee for the Women's Alliance. Cheryl, welcome to the show.
Hey, Russ, I'm very excited to be here. Great to talk to you again.
Let's start with Sabrina, because we want to give people an opportunity to understand what the Women's Alliance is all about and how they can get in touch with you.
Well, the Women's Alliance was created basically to fill sort of a void in the movement. There, women have been sorely underrepresented in the cause, and there was a need to fill the niche to reach out to more women. Women make up more than 50% of the U.S. population and is a demographic that absolutely has to be reached out to and in a way that is appealing to women. So it's a forum and a platform for women to register and voice their discontent with marijuana prohibition and to gather under the banner of the Women's Alliance to work towards reform.
How does your messaging with the Women's Alliance work differently than it would to just the general audiences? What sort of topics in marijuana law reform do you focus on to reach out better to women than just the general messages that we give in the reform movement?
Well, women in particular have our, I mean, this could be a really long conversation, but basically certain things that appeal to women that aren't really brought up in the conversation, women have a lot of issues and unique experiences surrounding marijuana and marijuana prohibition that aren't readily addressed in the conversation. For example, mothers and children, mothers have a lot on the line if there's a lot of parental issues that arise from our marijuana laws.
I'm in on that, Russ. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, I wanted to announce to everyone that we have a surprise guest joining us as well, also on the NORML Women's Alliance, and the executive director of NORML New Jersey, Ann Davis, is joining us from New Jersey. Ann, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks, Russ. Yeah, I wanted to hop in with Sabrina because I'm one of those moms that in New Jersey, it's really got really, really bad policies. And we have some moms that if they have so much as one joint or they test positive for marijuana, that we have something called the DIFAS, Division of Youth and Family Services, that will remove the children from the home. It's really bad. It's a really, really bad system that we have. And they could be the best of mothers, you know, work, beautiful houses, wonderful kids, very loved, and that's what they're facing just from prohibition.
Yeah, and that's the, I think, one thing that we really need to get across, too, is that one of the ways that the prohibitionists continue to support this awful policy is through the doctrine of, what about the children? And I think what the Women's Alliance can help do is to address that from women who are mothers and who realize prohibition's harming their kids worse than marijuana ever could. Let me get to Cheryl Schumann here with KushCon and Daily Buds to talk a little bit about the event. KushCon's happening next weekend, and there's a special tie-in with the Women's Alliance. Tell us all about that.
Well, thank you, Russ. I wanted to say, first of all, I'm just so grateful to be here. I absolutely love Normal. I love the Normal Women's Alliance. And as you know, I was the executive director for Beverly Hills Normal, but came over to Kush, and I wanted to continue my activism. So I'm thrilled that Kush has enabled me to continue my activism efforts. And when we chose a beneficiary for our charity this year, I was able to choose the Normal Women's Alliance, and this is our very first major fundraising event. We've already got close to $100,000 worth of product to be donated to raise money for the Normal Women's Alliance, and I'm absolutely thrilled. We have a GrowBot that's going to be giving away. We have a number of vendors, anywhere from Vortex to you name it, they're going to be donating product. We start the fundraising efforts on Thursday evening with the Medical Marijuana Business Alliance in Colorado, and we're going to have all of the great women represented there, including the absolutely beautiful Ann Davis. I love you to death, my girl. And Sabrina Fendrick, our fearless leader, and I am just thrilled beyond belief to be able to bring a classy, beautiful, sophisticated female role model group of women to this movement, and it's going to be off the hook. We've already got $1.7 million invested into the show. We're completely sold out. We've got 3 full days of music, and we're actually giving over $100,000 away in cash and prizes, literally anywhere from cash balloon drops from the ceiling to a $20 pass that covers all 3 days of music. It's going to be off the hook. We even have caravans being organized in every single state with a Woodstock type of mission to make this the Mecca or the Woodstock or Kushstock for the entire movement. And I'm just absolutely thrilled, and I love you guys.
All right. Well, let's talk about the raffle here.
Oh, we love you.
We want to benefit the Normal Women's Alliance there at KushCon. Sabrina, you've got this GrowBot raffle. Tell people what that is and how they can get involved with it.
Well, I'm still learning myself. It's this amazing mobile growing U-Haul type truck. I live in a prohibition state, so this, something like this is like just completely out of my scope of imagination. But
hey, Sabrina, if I can jump in here, yeah, the great
yeah, Cheryl knows more.
Oh, yeah. This is Tom Patton is the gentleman that was kind enough to donate this. And the great thing about the GrowBot trailer is it's a fully contained plug-and-play growing system. It has a value of over $20,000, and they have graciously donated that to the Normal Women's Alliance to raise funds. And the wonderful, wonderful thing about it is that all you have to do is completely self-contained. It already has the lighting in it. It has the watering systems, the humidifiers. It has everything you need to literally put it in your garage, plug it in, and you start growing cannabis right away. And it's awesome. It's really incredible.
And how can people get tickets for this? Can they only get them at the KushCon booth there, Sabrina, or is it going to be?
It's gonna only be at the KushCon booth. We're gonna try to disperse into the crowd and get a lot of promotions throughout KushCon, but basically, you'll want to find the Normal Women's Alliance booth to get a ticket.
Okay.
And they're $20 a ticket, and you can buy as many as you like.
All right. Well, $20 for a fully plug-and-play grow trailer. I think that's a fantastic investment there. And, Cheryl, I wanted to ask, as far as attendance at KushCon, what people need to know to get tickets. Are there any age limits? Is it an 18 and older thing? And rules with regard to cannabis that ought to be emphasized here?
Well, the beautiful thing about KushCon, too, is it's family-friendly, and we pride ourselves on being the classy new face of the entire cannabis movement. There are no medical cards required. It's open to the entire family. You're going to see tons of people coming there. We're already expecting total capacity each and every day. We've been dealing with the fire marshal because our ticket sales are through the roof. And so basically what happens, it's $20 per day, or you can get a three-day pass for $50. And the beautiful thing about that is it not only allows you to get into the event, but it gives you free admission into every single concert that we're putting on there. We have a 7,000-seat concert arena that's going to be showcasing the Dirty Heads, Flowbots, Aaron Lewis from Stained, Asher Roth, DJ Mixmaster Mike from the Beastie Boys, War, Craig Grohley from Santana. And that one ticket is such a tremendous value because you can literally see the concerts and everything for free, along with hearing all of the speakers and seeing all of the vendors. And we have over 400,000 square feet of vendor space and exhibit space, and then again the 7,000-seat concert area for all of the live music.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a fantastic event, and there's a giveaway through John Doe Radio, our associate who's going to be streaming with us. We'll be covering KushCon live all 3 days here at live.normal.org, but also we'll be teaming up with the local John Doe Radio show, which is the best marijuana podcast in the Rocky Mountains, and you can get involved with that, John Doe Radio giveaway at gmail.com. You can win the tickets, and then with the money that you saved from the free tickets, you can buy the raffle ticket for the Normal Women Alliance. See how that works out? That's all great. Hey, let's go to Ann Davis on this one, because we're talking about, you know, Cheryl just mentioned how this is going to be a family-friendly atmosphere at the KushCon. As a mother, as someone raising kids, have you ever had experience with events that weren't so family-friendly, and what are the, are you excited about this being a new type of event?
I'm really excited about it, and because of my view on cannabis, my children are always with me at events, age-appropriate, of course, events, but I'm really excited that, you know, and I've seen Cheryl's work before out at HempCon, and I know that anything that she does is classy, high-end, and bound to be absolutely fantastic. So I would have no beef bringing my children. However, I'm going solo this trip.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll see you out there in Denver. And before we let you go, I'm putting up on the webcam the picture that you guys were involved with the Pot Couture web shoot, the photo shoot that is up there. Sabrina is on the far left, and Anne is in the black dress in the middle. And we'll start with Sabrina. This photo shoot that you guys did, how much fun was that? And do you feel this also helps to bolster the image of the movement for women?
Oh my gosh, it was such a blast, and we got some great media out of it. The London Times did a whole article about it. We were on the homepage of salon.com. I think it's definitely, images are a lot more effective than a press release, especially in today's media. It's necessary to show pictures of women who are together, classy, responsible, respectable, and strong, that also support marijuana law reform.
Right, and we've got Anne, you're right there in the middle in the black cocktail dress, and Greta Gaines is going to be here at KushCon too. Did I read that correctly? Am I right on that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
she's going to be performing also, you guys, at the MNBA.
Oh,
and also, guys, if you need tickets, just go to KushCon.com, and there'll be tickets for Greta's performance, and that's going to be on Thursday night. She's doing a fantastic live acoustic set, and she's not only beautiful but amazingly talented, and, of course, on the Normal Women's Alliance Steering Committee.
Right, and then Greta is in the long country dress there on the far right of the shoot, and, of course, other women involved in the shoot, Shailene Title from Leap, Pepper and Margot from PotCouture.com, and Diane Fornbacher, a longtime activist. That's what I really liked about the shoot, too, is that it wasn't just women that, like, hey, I like to get high and it should be legal, but it's women who've actually, you know, done the work and gone out and been respectable about it and gotten the real information out in front of the people. I applaud you all for doing that. Thank you for joining us here.
Thank you, Russ.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Russ.
Sabrina Fendrick from the Normal Women's Alliance, Cheryl Schumann from DailyBuds.com, the director of PR and Media for KushCon, and Ann Davis, Normal New Jersey executive director. We will see you guys in Denver. We will be there at KushCon. It is December 17th through the 19th, and we are still taking donations for bandwidth upgrade. If you would like to help us get the highest quality bandwidth we can possibly get, you can donate to the show by going to PayPal and donating to RadicalRuss@gmail.com. The latest update on that, we're over $380 in the donations from our listeners. It's kind of like public television here. We do a little pledge drive, and you guys are really helping out. John Doe's got over 300 raised. We are definitely going to have an excellent show. Help put us over the top. You can donate, right, again through PayPal, RadicalRuss@gmail.com, or send check or money order by email to 4110 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard, number 161, Portland, Oregon, 97214. We also are still doing our auction of Ed Rosenthal's Marijuana Growers Handbook, autographed by Ed Rosenthal, will be autographed by Ed Rosenthal, but also autographed by Tommy Chong in the foreword. He wrote the foreword, and Keith Strop, he wrote the introduction. Three of the biggies in marijuana law reform will have this autographed book. This is the textbook, one of the textbooks for Oaksterdam University. Everything you wanted to know about fine indoor marijuana growing, you can learn it right here in Ed Rosenthal's Marijuana Growers Handbook. We'll be giving this again to the person with the highest bid as of midnight Sunday. To make your bid, send an email to stash@normal.org to make your bid. So far, the highest bid is still $100. If you outbid $100 in this silent auction by Sunday, you will be the winner of this book, and you will be helping us to bring KushCon to you. We never charge for this podcast. We never charge for this live show. It's absolutely free to anyone on the internet who wants to watch it. In exchange, we just ask every now and then you help us out, help us defray some expenses. Thanks for being the great listeners you are. Thanks for being the great fans you are. When we come back, a little bit of radical ranting. This is Normal Show Live. Normal Show Live is brought to you by our advertisers and supported by the generous tax-deductible donations of our listeners. If you'd like to make a monetary donation to the show, visit secure.normal.org/donate. Fill in the dollar amount and specify Normal Show Live in the comments. If you'd like to donate equipment or items to be used for prize promotions on the show, please send them to 4110 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard, number 161, Portland, Oregon, 97214. If you need a receipt for tax deduction purposes, please indicate the value of the items you are donating. Thank you for contributing to the fight for your own freedom.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical Brand. Welcome back, everyone, here closing up the hour one of our show. It's so great to talk to the ladies from the Normal Women's Alliance. It's going to be so fun. We're going to be booth right next door to them at KushCon. We're really looking forward to that. I wanted to bring something up here. You know, we talked a lot about the New Jersey medical marijuana regulations being fought currently. Governor Chris Christie there just hates medical marijuana, and he's enacted these regulations that go contrary to the spirit and to the intent of the law. The most heinous of which we've talked about. There's no home growing in New Jersey. There will be no delivery services of medicine in New Jersey. And what will be grown, there will only be three strains of marijuana grown. Those three strains have to be less than 10% THC. Right? So this is what they've got going on in New Jersey, a very draconian system, very restrictive type of a system. And people sometimes wonder, you know, why is this happening? Why do we have these, you know, medical marijuana so popular with the people? It's a travesty. How could they do this? Well, I want to give you an example of why this kind of stuff is happening. And this is not to, you know, denigrate, lay blame, or judge. I'm just trying to explain to folks the way things look, the way things are framed in the public discourse. You know, those of us in the choir, we know all about medical marijuana.
marijuana, we know that it's all the great stuff it can do. We know that it's non-toxic, it's non-addictive, and so forth. But to the general public out there, this is still a scary sort of thing. And when we have incidences like what I'm about to tell you about, this is why it's so hard for them to get around the idea of medical marijuana. This was an email I got, a live medical marijuana remote press release. Friday, December 10th, from 1 to 2 Pacific time, yeah, conveniently during my show, radio history will be made. The first live radio remote broadcast from a medical marijuana dispensary will take place at, and then they name the dispensary. I'm not going to give them more free, you know, credit here, free advertising. Free medical marijuana will be given away to all who show up with a doctor's recommendation card. A bong hit contest will take place as well. The medical marijuana community will be rallying at the moat, at this remote. The broadcast can be heard on, and then they name the AM radio station, during the new live daily talk radio show called, and then they name the show and who hosts it, and you can listen online and blah, 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 blah. Listeners have been calling in and winning a daily 1/8 ounce of medical marijuana provided by the dispensary. Obviously, the giveaway is only available to those listeners with doctor's recommendations. Now, when you hear that, when you read a story like that, because this goes out over the internet, and people are reading this in Nebraska, people are reading this in New Jersey, people are reading this all over the country, and they see something like this, and they can't help but want to make the air quotes with their fingers when they say the word medical with marijuana. I mean, you don't hear about, you know, hey, Friday, there's going to be a live remote at the Oregon Medical Clinic. There will be free insulin given away to all diabetics who show up. All diabetics who want to get your insulin, it's free here. There'll be shock jocks. It'll be radio. It'll be great entertainment. Free insulin for everyone. You know, you don't hear that, right? Now, I'm not necessarily saying that what's going on at the dispensary is troublesome. I mean, hey, you know, the California medical marijuana scene, the way it is, has done wonderful, great, good things for this community. It's built a business base. It's built an activist base. It's gotten some capital infused into this movement. And that's all well and good. But it's kind of a double-edged sword that we're talking about here. For all the progress that gets made in California by being so out and blatant and businesslike and entrepreneurial about the medical marijuana industry, and to some extent Colorado as well, for all the good that happens from that, there's also the bad that happens from that. And the bad that happens from that is it gives the opponents of medical marijuana in these other states like New Jersey, like Pennsylvania, like Illinois that just lost their medical bill in their house, it gives them the ammunition to point to California and Colorado and go, see, that's what medical marijuana is. It's a bunch of people getting high. It's a bunch of, you know, radio DJs and broadcasts and giveaways and party atmosphere. And meanwhile, people in New Jersey with multiple sclerosis are going to prison. People in New Jersey with epilepsy have to go out to the street dealer to try to get a hold of some medicine to hold their tremors up. It's just, and again, it'd be so easy here to condemn it and say it's just awful, it's terrible, but I'd be a hypocrite for doing so because I enjoy going to, you know, High Times Medical Cannabis Cup and the Cypress Hill Smokeout, and, you know, those things are as far from medical as medical could be. So I can't come down here and just, you know, sit on my high horse and condemn the things, but I think it's important that we understand, you know, fully what's happening with this, that we are pushing the envelope with what we're doing in some of these medical marijuana states, and for pushing the envelope out here where we have some freedom, we may be restricting the freedoms of people in other states. So we have to ask ourselves, are the tactics we're engaging in the medical marijuana states with entrepreneurialism and the cannabis businesses, are these the tactics that lead to eventual legalization? Because if they do, if we do eventually legalize, then all the patients in all the states will have all the medical marijuana they need. But if medical marijuana is only going to go so far, if we're going to get trapped in medical marijuana in the so-called Box Canyon, and medical is as good as it will ever get, and we end up with medical laws that allow some degree of freedom in California, a little less freedom in some of the other western states, and no freedom whatsoever in the south and some of the midwestern states, and the most restrictive medical programs going on in the northeastern states, if that's the price, is it a price too high to pay? Well, you know, whether it is or not, it's what's happening right now in America. In Colorado, this Kush count that we're going to December 17th through 19th, perfect example of it. A huge economic engine happening here. 300,000 square feet of exhibitors. You know, I see conferences like this for, you know, boat shows and trade shows of all kinds that don't generate that kind of volume and that kind of interest. Marijuana is big in this country. It is big business. Whether we think it's right or wrong, it is going to continue forward because it is modeling itself to the capitalist society that we have now. And I know there's a lot of people in the marijuana movement who have a problem with that as well. They don't like the idea of it becoming business-like and being a commodity that is bought and sold the way it is bought and sold today. That's just the breaks. That's the way things are happening right now. So it's up to us to figure out how are we going to go forward with this this apartheid system we have of medical marijuana, where the Western states have this great degree of freedom and the Eastern states are continuing to be more and more restrictive. There's not much we can do about them being able to point to these events that are happening, like this event here at the dispensary that I just named with the bong hit contest and the free eighths being given away. Those are going to continue to happen whether I hate them or not. The question is, how do we react to it? And I think what we need to do is to continue to emphasize the true medical utility of cannabis, but don't end up boxing ourselves into the small definition of cannabis only being medical. We need to always add the extra line to when we discuss, you know, cannabis is good for neuropathic pain, but it also leads to joy. It also leads to some euphoria. That's the thing that they're trying to breed out of the plant and to get out of the medical marijuana here is the fact that people enjoy it. Something Ganja John said the other day, you know, it's okay to take drugs to get to neutral, but it's not okay to take drugs to get to better than neutral, right? They just want you to get to normal. Well, we need to emphasize that the use of cannabis and the euphoria that it brings is itself something good, is itself a medical benefit. And we need to take away that fear people have that using it for a recreational purpose is somehow bad or wrong. Until we get around that morality, until we get around the idea that somehow it's immoral to smoke marijuana, we will continue to have these problems with the medical marijuana states as they continue to determine whether or not someone is ill enough, is disabled enough, or deserves the kind of compassion that we don't throw them in a jail for using marijuana, but somebody who isn't that suffering, why, it's perfectly okay to throw them in a jail for marijuana because they were doing something bad. They were doing something immoral. That's why we're here every day fighting for not just medical marijuana, but fighting for industrial hemp, fighting for spiritual marijuana, fighting for marijuana just because. It has to be legalized for all purposes or it will never truly be free for any purpose. All right, folks, getting ready for hour two. If you got some call-ins, we'll talk about that Miley Cyrus stuff and take more of your calls and questions about KushCon. For those of you listening to the podcast, thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week on Monday and Tuesday. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we will be off of the podcast schedule as we go out to Denver's KushCon, but you can catch us live at live.normal.org. For Cannabis Carrie and Ganja John, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.